First of all, my name is Marty Kornfeld from Razanim. And speaking of the taste, the sushi bar will be rolled in a couple of minutes, so don't worry. I want to start with a story. And that'll give you a little bit of an idea of why we're here. The story goes that at the late 80s, early 90s, when the Iron Curtain, Soviet Russia, fell, and there was an aliyah of Russians that came to Israel. And this Russian Jew who always dreamt of coming to Israel, let's call him Vladimir, he comes to Israel, and after living so many years under the Soviet system, he really wasn't familiar with banking and banking laws and so on and so forth. So his friend took him into the bank. His friend put 50 shekel or 50 lira, whatever it was, in the bank, and to help him open up a bank account and try to explain to him how banking works. It was all very, very new to him. And the next thing he knew, he was taken over to another pakid in the bank, and the pakid promptly presented him with a checkbook. And to him, this was like, wow, you know, he never heard of something like this before in his life. Checkbook, and his friend took him out of the bank, and he looked at him and he said, Boris, what do I do with this? So he said, every time you buy something and you don't have any cash on you, just write a check. And that's what he did, and he started writing, Hayalo Chagiga, he was writing, Ad Lahoda Chadasha. The next thing he did, next thing that happened a couple of days later, or whatever, the menahel of the bank calls him and starts yelling at him and said, like, what are you doing? You're 5,000 shekel overdrawn. Come into the bank right now or we'll close you down. And so he goes into the bank, and the menahel of the bank pounds on the table and said, you're 5,000 shekel overdrawn. You're in the minus. What are you going to do about it? He said, no problem. I'll write a check. Punchline we all know. And sometimes the punchline is a reality. And that's why we're here. Mazanim, we try to help you get balance. We try to help you through the Mazanim method. We try to help you realize that if you really want to live Baroga, then there's no better way of living Baroga in so many different ways in your home, with your children, with your wife, with yourselves, than living in a balanced way economically. And that's really the key. So first of all, Paischim Bechvayn Achsanya, based Tefillah, we thank the Rav Malinowitz Shlita for actually being a big supporter of Ma'azanim, and it was very important for him that we have this evening. So we thank Rabbi Malinowitz. I understand that he's in Chutz Laretz, but he has a strong interest that this evening be successful. Second of all, I'd like to thank Aryeh Sonnenberg, who via email was very, very helpful, and I finally got to meet him, the man behind the laptop computer. And so I want to say thank you for helping us. Dr. Ari Stern. And last but not least, who's our young friend who helped us set up tonight?
Asher Gurman.
Asher Gurman. Okay, before we I pass the microphone on to the main presenter of the evening, let me just throw out some questions, points to ponder of why we're here tonight. First of all, next week is Purim. Should we buy our Purim food, costumes, shalachmanes with tashlumim? Question number one. Question number two, in general, you go into a store and you see a miftza. Okay? Your first reaction is, gosh, a miftza, that's incredible. So, how much should I buy with the miftza? Should I overbuy what I want with the miftza or not? And question number three, a real point to ponder. And I put this out to every single one of you people here. Do you really believe that it's possible to put aside or save 2,000 shekel a month? What would you do with that kind of money? Can it be done? These are some points for you to ponder. I want to turn over the microphone to Yossi Rudensky, who heads our Ramat Beit Shemesh office.
Good evening. I think I'll be more comfortable without this. Any? Can't hear me? Any objection? Oh, you just bought it, and then that's it. What? Yeah, but I like to move around. Okay. Rabbi Kornfeld mentioned the question, what would I do with 2,000 shekel? I know what I would do with 2,000 shekel. Question is, where do I get it from? I overheard some guys talk, and they say... I overheard guys talk, and they say, if they could show me if I could save 50 shekel, I'll be happy. Not to mention 2,000 shekel. I would challenge you. It's a challenge. I like challenges. I'm a basketball player. I'll take the challenge, and I will try as much as I can to show you guys how actually you could save up to 2,000 shekel a month in your home economics. Let me throw out a question. How many people here really believe they could save in their house budgeting any amount of money? Okay, good start. So now the question is how to reach 2,000. Okay, easier. Once we have people believe they could really save that kind of money, the question is how? Usually that's not a question. We'll see in a moment. We'll start the presentation. We're talking about, before we start, I'll refer to Rabbi Kornfeld's question. Purim, Tashlumim, in general, is that a good thing or a bad thing? This is not a rhetorical question.
Yes.
It's a good thing.
Yes.
In what way?
It pushes off the spreads of time that you might have to
face. Okay. Yeah. It's a bad thing.
Paying for food
that you already ate.
You're already here.
Okay. We got one for good, one for bad. Anybody else?
Bad for the exact same reason he said.
It's bad.
Because it pushes off having to pay for things.
Right. Who owns a car? How many paid the car cash without tashlumi? Nice. Well, we know banks give loans for cars. Banks give loans for housing. Usually most people don't pay up front. We use tashlumim. So again, 25 years, 5 years, depending. Is tashlumim good or bad? Depends. Oh, it's time to get a little lumdus over here. Depends, of course. So someone mentioned here, the lady over here mentioned that it's bad to pay tashlumim food that I'm eating this month, and I ate already this month, I'm going to pay it next month. What's going to be next month? I don't have to eat. Ramadan? Right? And on the other hand, a car, a house, we do want to buy with tashlumim. Purim, Pesach, Sukkis, all the chagim. With tashlumim or without tashlumim? So we have to understand where the question is coming from. The answer. The klal is that in any tashlumim, anything that you buy now for the next month, for this month, and you're going to have to buy next month, you don't buy tashlumim. What's the purpose? At the end of the day, you're going to be spending the same amount of money, if not even more. A car, for example, or a house, it's a once in a lifetime buy, or a car every 5 years, depending. That's why the banks give you loans for 5 years. If it's an expense, you have to buy a new refrigerator or a new stove or a new air conditioning or whatever it is, you buy tashlumim. And the, what's the word? Shotef? What's the English word for? And you're running budget, then you don't buy tashlumim. And of course, certain things you should buy tashlumim. Okay? So it's very, it's not a clear-cut answer. Pesach, coming to just, I mentioned Purim, I just want to mention this about Pesach. Pesach, the banks come out with a lot of advertising, you know. Pesach came, wow, boom. We didn't notice. Pesach just came around the corner, sneaked up on us. And it's too much to pay. So take a loan. 40,000 shekel, 50,000 shekel, every bank has their own. How many tashlumim? We'll give you the best tashlumim. Best interest. 40 tashlumim. 30 tashlumim. Pretty good. Sounds good. But guess what? In those 30, 40 tashlumim, there's going to be at least another 2, 3 Pesachs. And maybe some other Purims and Sukkises, I think, will maybe come also during those 30 or 40 tashlumim. So it doesn't make any sense to pay tashlumim for something that's coming up ahead again. I was just to reply to the question. We'll go a little bit presentation about who are we, who is Ma'azanim, and we will get how to save up to 2,000 shekel, I hope. Who is Ma'azanim? Who do we want? We want to be the address to each and every one of you guys sitting here, and whoever one you know, that we should be the address, the people that who you would go to and ask the questions, because it's not only me standing here, it's the whole organization standing behind me, and we have very, very professional people helping us and working with us and together with us. And any question that you guys may have, we would like to be the address that you should ask, and we could try to help you as much as we can. Right? Any family we mentioned? The problem today is all known. You know, people want to save. The month seems to be ending very quickly. The money seems to be, and there's too much month left at the end of the money. That's the famous joke. And we can't put aside, or we can, but it's not seems to be enough. Even if we are putting aside, we're not feeling we're really putting the full potential of what we can. And of course, it causes a lot of problems in the house, shalom bayis, children, health, in all kinds of situations. Therefore, Ma'azanim came up with this method, started up with Rabbi Yisrael Gutman and Rabbi Kornfeld's son, Hudi Kornfeld, who together, Yisrael coming from a background of Mesila, whoever heard of Mesila, who helped finance the same, very close, same idea, to help families finance. Basically, they would come, that's the Mesila method, at those times anyway, they would come with a pair of scissors to your house and a set of rules, and this is what you got to do. Of course, credit cards over here, make a bracha, cut them up, and the whole set of rules that you guys got to do. It doesn't always work. I'm not saying it doesn't work at all. It works for plenty of families. I'm sure they helped a lot of families, but in certain families it doesn't help, because who could tell me why?
Let's get more credit cards.
Could always buy more credit cards. Good point. Why would I get more credit cards?
It's not your choice.
Exactly. It's not my choice. I've been told what to do. Nobody likes to be told what to do. Ask our kids. They'll tell you right away. So, Hudi Kornfeld, who was a coach, a life coach, I'm sure you heard. Did you hear about coaching, this trend of coaching? a coach, basketball coach. Take a bunch of five guys, real tall black guys, and they're playing fine, but not too good. And they fire the coach. The GM is not happy about what's going on, so he fires the coach, hires another coach, say Phil Jackson, and boom, these guys are running for championship. What happened? Same guys, different coach. A good coach knows how to take every single player, every single person on his team, and fulfill and maximize his potential. And say, you stay underneath, stay in the paint. You do that. And with that, he's able to bring the team into championships. Life coach is the same idea, basically taking people's potential and trying to maximize their potential to the maximum that they can be. And the coaching method believes that every person basically has the answers to all the questions. It's never a question of how would I do that? It's usually a question of why. Why should I push myself? Why should I do this? So, and the tafkid,
the role of,
sorry about my English, I was born and raised here in Israel, so. Yeah, Mrs. Pollack, you know, didn't do such a And, right, the role of a coach is basically to help the guy, or to help the person in front of him, or the family in our instance, to reach, to tell the answers and reach really what they could really be. So taking those two together, combining financial advice, which we have a lot of hours, a lot of work with families, a lot of practical experience, and putting it together with coaching, comes out together to this beautiful method. It's called the Mazani method. There's a few versions. There's coaching, and there's imunishi.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Couching. Sit on the couch and do nothing. Right. So then again, I think the last line is very, very important. This turns our ideas into reality. Every person has ideas. Every person has dreams. A good coach will be able to come and link into that idea, into that person's ideas of what he wants to do, and really turn them into reality by asking just simple questions that a person should be able to know and think about himself. Well, how could I do this better? The Mazani method basically is based on three steps, based on knowledge, action, and planning. Number one is knowledge, to know exactly where we're standing, where we're holding. Every person, what's our financial snapshot or financial status at the moment, for good or for bad. This includes just simple questions as, you know, I just want to know who we're going up against. Who does the shopping in the home? How do we spend money? How do we get decisions to buy things? All these things, all these questions, we would like to know before we start, as we start, because that is number one, to know what's our starting point, and from there to build it on. Number two, once we know what our situation is or our status, right away, we feel we need to take action, because we know what's going on. You know, and this stupid cell phone bill is sitting, and they're charging me every single month like 50 shekels, and I'm not even using that phone. Just make a stupid phone call and cancel it. I tried. It doesn't work. So it reminds me of a nice story, a funny story that I should have said before, but I'll say it now anyway. It's a nice story. There were these two kafriim villagers, peasants, that had, they each had a horse. One of them was doing business, and he had to go out of town, I mean into town, for his business, and he told his friend, you know what, please hold on to my horse, you have a stable, you have food, you have all the equipment, please, you know, what's the big deal, one horse, two horses, just take care of him for me. So it's fine, no problem. He takes him in, the other guy leaves to the city, and a day after he leaves, the farmer comes to this financial advisor who lives right next door, and he asked him a question. He says, I have a question. Please help me. Give me an eitzah. I have these two horses. One of them is mine, one of them is my neighbor's. And how am I going to tell the difference between the two? He's going to come back. I'm not going to know which horse is whose. So he told him, what's the big deal? Cut off one of your horse's ears, and you'll know. Your horse is without an ear, the other guy's is with. Anyway, fine, he did it. The next day they walked in the forest, and some shiputznik did some stuff with his saw, and the other horse got his ear chopped off. So now he has two horses with one ear. Goes back to the guy, to the advisor, and he says, listen, I cut the ears, and now we're without any ears. What should we do now? He said, cut off the other ear. Oh, good idea. He goes over, he cuts off his other ear. And then the same story happens. Malasot, he's a farmer, you know, and he goes in the same place, and he gets his other side. The second horse also gets his ear chopped off. Goes on and goes on, cut off his leg, two legs, three legs, four legs, cut off his tail. They cut off everything they could cut off. He goes to the financial advisor and he says, listen, that's it. There's nothing more I could cut. I've done everything. I buy only what I need. I buy only mivtzayim. I do everything to the minimum. You know, I even walk to the merkaz back and forth, you know, to save on the gas. You know, everything I could do. What am I supposed to do now? Right, with the horse. I got carried away. So, the financial advisor really has nothing to say. And he turns to the farmer and he says, I don't know, what do you think about it? Farmer thinks for a second, and now suddenly his face lights up. He says, I have a great idea. My horse is white. The neighbor's horse is black. There we go. We got the answer. The idea is that sometimes financial advisors, they're not bad. They're good. They're great. But not always do they have the answers for us. It's the idea of coming over to the person himself, to the family themselves, to us, and say, what could you do? You're missing 2,000 shekel. You need an extra 2,000 shekel a month. What could you do? I had a guy sitting by me and he said, I don't know, I'm looking for answers. I said, stop looking for answers, just start giving answers. It's your responsibility. You need an extra 2,000 shekel a month. How are you coming up with those 2,000 shekel? Once you get the guy, start thinking. Answers somehow show up. I'd like to mention Tony Robbins. Ever heard of his? He has a book called, I think, Awaken the Giant Within. I think that's the name of the book. I read it in Hebrew, so sorry. So he writes there that our mind is a great computer. Any question we give it, he'll give us an answer. If we'll ask, why am I so stupid? You'll get the answer. If you'll ask, why am I always a loser? Why am I always not? You'll get the answers. But if you ask him the right questions, if you ask this mind, if you ask him, how could I do this better? What could I do now to be top of the line? You'll get the answers. And it's that those questions, he says, it's all about asking the right questions. If we ask the right questions, the right answers will show up. That's just to understand how why we feel this method is so effective, because it's not telling people what to do. It's basically working together. Of course, if a person will ask, you know, what do you think about this? We could give him an answer. But it's about the family taking responsibility and saying, this is what we want and this is what we need. I say this, part of a family, part of a solution of the family, of any financial situation, is basically awareness. And I think, I could say it for myself anyway, that a lot of times it's just we're not even aware of what's going on. We're not even aware about where the money's going to, how much money do I really have, how much money could I spend. We know be'erech, it's always somehow, yeah. I know, and usually we're right, because usually a family doesn't spend more than what they really really earn. Because somehow it's built in that they do have that, but it's always those little hundred shekel, or sometimes it's even more because I paid a check and boom, all of a sudden, hey, that check just came. I forgot about it, and it's those things, that 1,000 shekel here and 1,000 shekel there, that sometimes could knock us down. So it's all about awareness. Once we have awareness, we know how to work. The toolbox that we use, number one is vision. If we have what to work for, then it's worth it. Then we're willing to give it a shot and we're willing to work hard. I'm sure every person here had a situation in his life. You know, things were running okay. The rent was okay. The money was coming in fine. But all of a sudden, he felt, I want to go now to a vacation, or I want to do a certain thing, and all of a sudden, boom, we start working, and we're cutting over here, and we're doing this, and we're all full of energy. This is it, this is great. I'm working hard now because I'm going to go to there, and I'm going to do that, because we're getting a sense of purpose, some kind of vision. This is what we want to do. So with everyone over here, If you would have a vision, a clear vision about how you would like to see your financial status be in a year or half a year, I'm sure things will come and you definitely could start working on it. And we'll also show you how to save 2,000 shekel. Because it's a challenge now. And I want to show you guys that you could do it. Pain versus pleasure, right? What am I going to do with these 2,000 shekel? Right? It's going to be great. I could go visit my family. I could buy myself a car. I could, whatever it is. It's a lot of pleasure. It will give me a lot of pleasure to do these things. So therefore, it would be easier for me to pay the price, so to speak, now, or pain. If I don't save that 2,000 shekel, how would I feel in a few months? And that I knew I could do it, I could have done it and I didn't. How would I feel? It's a lot of pain. So if we work with those two things, sometimes it could give us motivation to work. Spin. Spin is actually, Ashetevos, how do you say? In English? Okay. What? It's basically a method of asking questions. For example, a cell phone, a smartphone. Who here would like a smartphone? Who has a smartphone? What does a smartphone mean for you? What does it mean? What does it mean for you to have a smartphone?
Accessible
at all times. Work. Anybody else? Suggestions? What does it mean, a smartphone, for you? For you. If I'm coming to sell you guys a smartphone, right? So for him, I would say, if I would come and say, you can have a smartphone. Look at all these games you can play with. And look at all these, SMSs for free. What's up? How you doing? And all these things. It wouldn't buy, you could be in touch with your kids all over, with the family all over the country. and all over the globe. From the answers you answered me before, it wouldn't talk to you as much if I said, listen, you could be accessible at all times. Work 3, 4, 5 mailboxes in one computer, in one cell phone. Am I talking to you now? Yeah. What? Okay, I'm just saying.
I don't pay for it, so it's okay.
Oh, okay, that's great. It's even better. Right? We have to ask ourselves the same questions. What does it mean for us to save 2,000 shekel? What does it mean for us? What kind of meaning does it give us? And that way we could talk to ourselves or have someone talk to us about these points. Right? What does it mean for a person? I'll give my example. I like it. My personal example about diet. What's the meaning of me being fat? The answer to that, I'm saying this because when we learned this thing, the guy did it on me, so I was like the guinea pig sitting up here, and he was asking me the questions, and I answered because I want to be in shape. I want to be bekosher, to run a lot. Why? What's the meaning of that? Why is that important for you? He asked me. So I answered because I want to run around with my kids. I want to run around with my grandkids. I don't want to be that guy who's just sitting by the bench and looking at his kids and waving, hey, see you when you slide. Yeah, I want to be there. Maybe not on the slides right now, not yet, anyway. They're not built for me. But I want to be the guy who's the father and the grandfather who's running there, you know, in Park Ayalon and throwing the frisbee and kicking the ball and being there with them. So that's what it means to me. So if a guy would say, you know, you want to start this diet, your clothes would look good. And, if, you know, it doesn't really play as much as a role as he would tell me. You know, you look good, you'll have a lot of energy, you'll feel good. That talks to me more. So when we come talking about budgets, what does it mean, these 2,000 shekels? What does it mean to us? Why is that important for us? When we have those answers, it's easier for us to come and really work and really put in the work and the sweat in order to do it. Our representatives, we work with families, we train them with all these things. These are part of the things that they go through. We have review, of course. Okay, I'm just going to pass it because it's just a long. Just at this point, Mazanim Info is basically a part of Mazanim, which is a hotline basically for all questions in any subject about it has to do with finances and money. This is the line to call, and we consult with everyone. Like I mentioned before, we have a lot of people working with us sitting here also. Like I mentioned, Baruch also works with us, and many more people, and a lot of, around, we work with a lot of people, and people get to know Mazanim more and more and more because we are pretty young, but we are growing. And this is definitely a hotline that's worth, if you have any questions, it's worth, and a website that's under construction. Savings per family. How much would you say the number is statistically? Again, the amount of money that an average family in Mazanim that we worked with, how much money did they save? 2,000 shekel. Nice.
3,414.
Very good. Yeah, you see, it's in the papers. Right. 2,000 shekel was the goal. When Mazanim opened up and we started Mazanim, they put up a goal that we want every family to be more efficient in 2,000 shekel. And as you could see, the numbers were definitely surprising. Almost 3,500 shekel. So I'm asking you again, could you guys do it? I think so. 2,000 shekel. It's way less than an average family that does by us. I'm missing. Like I mentioned before, that since we're working with the whole concept of coaching of the family, who we work with the family, telling them to take responsibility and know to tell me the answers. So we can't come up with a set of rules and say this is what you got to do. Open-minded, creativity, etc. Okay, I'll just go these through quick. English division. Could ask for not volunteers, whoever could help. I'm sure it would also be appreciated. Okay, I'm just gonna flip through these. Okay, here's the big deal. This is the moment we've all been waiting for. Say you're earning 8,000 shekel and you're spending 10,000 shekel, and we're talking about each and every one of you. I could put it in a different way. You're making what you're making, the same earnings, except for whatever reason, we'll make it a good reason, you have this investment that you really want to put in your money, and it's taking away a big, big chunk of your money, and you're left with a shortage of 2,000 shekel. Right? It doesn't have to be 8 and 10. It could be your, if you want to make it more real. Okay? Now, we have to come up, each one of you now will have to come up with 2,000 shekel on your monthly budget. Below, whoever has, you will have the papers. You'll see on the categories over there, right? You'll see numbers underneath, 100 to 600 on telecommunications. Interest in bank fees, there's a number. Now, please try to keep this as real as you can. And it's not just a Monopoly game. Let's try to keep this real. Please apply this on yourselves. A big chunk of your money is going for a good cause. It's going for a good investment that you're putting now for the next half a year. And for the next half a year, you need an extra 2,000 shekel. What would you do? Who here thinks he could cut on communication between 100 and 600 shekel? Definitely. Write a number. Right? Amount saved. Let's go on. Interest and bank fees. Not always we can, sometimes we could. Water or electricity, between 100 and 700 shekel. Who could save on water or electricity? Now again, this has to work with what is comfortable for you. Because you can't, of course, I'll sit for 6 months in the dark, and I'll save a lot of money. We're talking about to keep it up for 6 months. Please try to be real. Grocery shopping, auto care. These are the numbers. Please come up with 2,000 shekel. You'll see on the bottom 13 and 14, husband's income and wife's income. I had a guy who wrote He put in like 500 shekels on his wife's income. Okay, fine.
What does that mean?
What?
How do you save on your
income? No, that means you make more. That's not saving. That's increasing your income. You could save 1,000 shekel and increase 1,000 shekel on your income and you're balanced. That's also possible. That's also an option. Some could do it. Some can't do it. But this is what we're throwing to you guys. This is not the total amount. This is how much it could be. Right.
Whatever we're spending now.
Right. Whatever you're spending now, you could reduce 100 shekel out of communication, for example. Let's say I'm spending now 800 shekel, I'll be spending 700 shekel. Could be paying a lot of fees on your minus or no. Okay, so if you have a savings, for example, you might want to do that because on the savings you're getting maybe 0.6, maybe not at a good rate, right? And on interest you're paying 10-15%. So it just doesn't make any sense. Could also be that if you have a certain horan keva for a saving, which is essentially cutting off your minus, you just stop that without even taking out the interest. I think 11 and 12 are annually, not monthly.
That's why I spent that much money.
Myself, right? I own this phone. Well, it's not an iPhone, but it's it's a Nokia C7. I'm paying for it. Let's say I think 200 shekel, maybe more. I could definitely cut it off. I could get it just a regular phone, kosher phone today, for 30 shekel.
You start paying for the phone for 3 years from when you took out the contract for the phone.
Okay, you're right. So I'll be paying 70 shekel, right? But it's not 250 shekel. I can pay just 50 shekel. But I like it. I enjoy it. I like gadgets.
Like Bezek. I just cut my Bezek bill down. I'm not using the limit to have the cell phone. But how come? I pay 25 shekel a month just for an incoming line of phone.
How are we doing? How many managed to do it? No hands? It would be very easy for me to tell you guys, okay, this is it. From now on, you guys are cutting 100 shekels from your communication. And another 10 shekel, that'd be nice, and your bank fees. Cut 100 shekel on your water and electricity. This is what you gotta do. But it's not gonna hold, like we mentioned before. It has to be yours. It has to be what you can do and what you think can be done. Once you have this done, could I go on? I should go on? Once we have this done, and if it was done properly, I mean, not just throwing in numbers, I think each one could now come home and take this and really see how could he apply this into our lives. If we said just now we could cut on, who wants to throw a number? 18. 18? You got to 1880. Is it doable? Could you do it tomorrow?
No.
Alright, what has to be done? What did you do, increase?
Half of it was increase in income.
Okay. How much did you put in increase income? Just
1,000.
1,000. How are you going to do that?
Certain projects are coming to fruition.
Is that projected? It's up to you, or it's things that may be coming. You're short 2,000 shekel. How are you going to finish up the month? Could you increase 1,000 shekel?
Not this month.
So how are you getting to 2,000 shekel? Your kids need food. The idea is to really take this. I mean, I'm standing here not even an hour. I don't think anyone could do this in an hour. Show you, I mean, to actually, you know, let's go through a whole plan and save you 2,000 shekel. I just want to show you how this thing is possible. I just want to show you by creative thinking, by opening up your mind to different kind of suggestions and different kind of aspects and angles of all kinds of things that we could do. Eventually could turn this into a reality. I'm sure you could, by next month, you could earn another 1,000 shekel. Mm-hmm. I'm sure of it. It's just a matter of what actions are you supposed to do for that. Mm-hmm. I don't know the answers, because I don't even know what you do. But you know the answers. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to throw it at you. What are you going to do to finish up next month with an extra 1,000 shekel in your income? And in each category, I'm sure, there's always what to do. Could be 50 shekel here, another 100 shekel there. Eventually it adds up to 2,000 shekel. Yeah. What? I mentioned before, like, let's say a person has a savings. A savings account. So right now, you'll cut that down. Let's say I'm putting aside 3,000 shekel a month. So I'll lower it down to 1,500. For example.
If you have a savings account of 3,000 shekel,
then
structure rate is maybe 3,000 shekel.
No, I am. That wasn't the question here.
No, I was that. But
you're right. You're 100% right. No. You're 100% right. The idea is, but could you come up with an extra 2,000 shekel? We're talking about these are my monthly expenses, including that Arad Keva. Right? I'm making 25,000 shekel, and I have, and I'm even investing money. And we're talking about this money is going to invest. I don't have to invest. I could stop. And the bottom line, I need an extra 2,000 shekel because I want that. I want that Tochnit Chisachon to still go on. So could be, you know, so this, we're giving an option, you know, okay, fine, you want this to go on, so it doesn't have to be on the maximum strength, you know, it could be just, you know, understood? It's just an exercise, right? It's just to get you guys thinking, to see that it the way it works, and that people thinking and coming up with their own creative answers. Just, I think we'll just talk a little bit more.
As an icebreaker, can you guys give another example on this? Because I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, you know, utilities, I think we're already being very efficient with things. So I'm not sure how we get the utilities down. I'm looking at the other items, not sure how we get them down. I think
not sure how?
I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, we've already spent a lot of, you know, we've already spent a lot of time, you know, trying to be as optimal as we can be, without wasting anything. So I'm looking at the utility bills in particular, I'm looking at, you know, water, electricity. I don't see getting those down, but I'm turning to you and saying, could you just as a like an icebreaker type of thing, give out some other suggestions?
What's your electricity bill?
I'll count it out, I guess.
What do you use at home? What are your electric appliances?
Dryer. Washer, dryer, fridge,
freezer,
heater.
Heater.
So those are our main concerns.
What kind of heater?
Wall-mounted unit.
The what?
Hmm.
What added unit?
It's a wall-mounted unit.
What is that? I'm sorry.
Mazgan.
Mazgan. And you use it? How often do you use it?
Usually, on the nights, at nighttime, a lot.
The whole night?
Hmm?
The whole night?
Well, usually, yeah, we'll have it on the whole night at a low temperature, just so it doesn't get too cold. Under a blanket, you know, basically, just, you know, during the day we're dry, you know, bundled warmly, and at night you have a blanket on you. It doesn't need to be so warm.
Okay.
But you don't want to get too extreme.
Okay. Next. Could be it's not possible over here.
Uh-huh.
Grocery shopping?
I don't know how to be more efficient about that.
You know that around 40% of our budget goes for groceries and shopping. That's statistics. And I know families who just on that saved 1,000, 2,000 shekels just on grocery shopping. Just on grocery shopping. Yeah. I'll give you some examples. I'll try. How often do you clean out the fridge? Not often enough. when you do, how much food goes to the garbage? A lot of food goes to the garbage because we're not planned enough. We're not planning our meals. We're not planning the way we bought cheese, yogurts, or whatever it is. We bought the new ones and we just kind of push it in, right? And then what happens to the old ones? They get pushed back. And somehow, you know, we open the fridge and we look for a good yogurt. We think it's the supermarket and we look for the one that's the latest date, and it should be the opposite. First, you got to take from the back. And a lot of times, a lot of milk products go to waste just on that. Food. How many times we threw out the leftovers, which could have been a nice supper of food, of schnitzel, of chicken, of whatever it is. A lot of things, of pasta. How many times we made a whole bowl of pasta, we take one, we put it in a bag, we know that's going to be for later, and then we put it in the freezer or refrigerator. A week passes, and I don't think so about the pasta, you know, and then it goes on and on. Eventually, the pasta goes to the garbage. Okay, so pasta is not expensive, but I'm talking about the concept, about the idea. So planning a menu, not always easy, I know. But planning a menu definitely could help. If you plan a menu, and he know this is the amount that we need to eat, and he could always eat more. You could always eat more. The question is, how much do we really need? How much do we really need to eat? Let's say, I like to give an example, it's just so simple. The schnitzel example, right? It's a family, take out a whole tray of schnitzel, and you prepare the schnitzel, and you make rice or potatoes or whatever, some side dish that you make. And, you know, you open up a package, and it's already defrosted, and, you know, and you're going to make the whole package. And it's going to be eaten. It's not going to go to waste. I'm being optimistic. Yeah, and it's not going to go to waste. Everything's going to be eaten. But the question is, how much do we really need to eat from that package? Could be that a half a package could have been enough. More than enough. We'll be satisfied after a half a package. And the rest, we're still hungry. We feel we could still eat, could still nash. Yeah, so fine. Take side dishes. Take pasta. Take rice. Put farfel, couscous, whatever you guys like. Right? But no, we opened up a pack of schnitzel, it all has to go. Another example, going back to, yeah.
What did you say about when you're buying four of something, you said you were going to buy one, and then you stop?
Right, I was going to get to that. Right, the example I like to bring is the Bamba example. Right, schnitzel Bamba, I'm very cautious. Yeah? The Bamba example. Right, a Bamba, Osem, the good stuff, yeah, cost let's say 5 shekel a pack, and there's a deal now that sells you 3 packs for 12. Nice save a shekel on each. It's great, but at the end of the day, if for this Shabbos I only need, or whatever, I only need 1 pack. So fine, I got a good deal, but I ended up using 3 packs. I ended up spending 12 shekel instead of 5. So could be it was worth it for me to buy 5. How many times this happens a lot? How many times did we walk into Yesh, and there's a mivtza, and the little letters say what? Bekniya me'al 75. If we're lucky, 150. If we're not so lucky, right? And how many times we go walk around and buy all these stupid things just to get those extra 2 bottles of Coke? We'll buy the stupid wafers that we don't need, that we have. We'll buy that, and we'll buy that, and we'll buy that. Just for what? To save 10 shekel. Spend that extra 10 shekel and just don't buy all the rest, because you don't really need it. The real smart way to do, I'm not saying not to buy, but the real smart way would be to buy things that are maybe more long term, that you know are not going to be used. And that also depends on your budget. Right? So mivtzaim. Going back to mivtzaim, is the mivtza good or bad? Depends to who. Mivtzaim, the supermarkets are not stupid. The supermarkets are making money. I'll give another example I like to use. I think a year ago, maybe more, in Israel came in this the new yogurts. Moller, whatever it's called. You know, the fruit with the nice, yummy, delicious topping. It's really a good yogurt. And when they came out, it was very cheap. Mivtza. Everyone bought it. It was like less than 2 shekel, I think, or maybe 2 shekel for one. 2 shekel for one yogurt. You know how much they sell today? And it's never a mivtza already.
6, 7.
4.5, 5. Those are the amounts. And people buy them. Why do people buy them? Because they're good. We would never think of buying them before, but since we bought it in the Mivtza, and it's not very good, so people use it. Another example, diaper example. Give the diaper example, right? Huggies. Huggies is a good diaper. No question about it. Huggies is good. But you buy Huggies, how much is a Huggies not in the Mivtza? It's around 65, 70 shekel. What?
55, 60.
It's
not as bad as it used to be.
Not as bad as it used to be. Okay, but the other guys are selling a pack for what? 35, 40 shekel? But we all started off buying Huggies when it was Mivtza. It was 3 for 120, and it's a good price, great price. And then we used the Huggies, and the Huggies are really good. And then from now on is Huggies. My son, for my son, only the best. Only Huggies. Statistically, נשים שהתחילו לקנות מבצעים, מותגים, כמה סטטיסטיקה? Most people who use today, what's it called? Brand names, right. Brand names are people who, you know, we're not talking about people who have a lot of money. People who use brand names are because they started off, you know, with a mivtza. Yeah.
Sometimes there's a difference in quality. I mean,
no question about it.
So,
do you have the money for it?
Using Huggies is going to save her wash and aggravation. So it's
could be.
Money spent is more.
Could be. I rest my case. You're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. 100%. But the question has to be, or sometimes, you know, do we really have that money? It is about.
There's another brand which is the same quality, but it doesn't have the name. It's like the purple and blue, and it's 40 HFL without the sale. So if you really see that they're the same quality, but you're not buying Huggies, so then you can easily.
Right. 100%.
Sometimes there is an equivalent, but it's just not a brand name.
Right. Again, everyone has their own cheshbonis, everyone has their own. You're 100% right. Could be winter, summer, I don't know, maybe it has to be a difference. Let's talk about Purim a little bit. Purim is coming up. How do we maximize Purim? What's that?
Arak.
If you're drunk, it doesn't really make a difference. What's the difference? How do we save up on Purim? Costumes. We're not going to talk about costumes. You can get all kinds of places. You have to really know where you're buying. Sometimes homemade costumes are the best. You know, I remember just Moav telling me when she was a kid, she used to put on the cardboard, put on three circles, red, green, orange, whatever, and she couldn't sit for the whole Purim because she was in a box. But she was happy. She was happy. She got dressed up as a traffic light. I was saying, sometimes just these stupid home costumes, I could say for myself, my daughters this past 2 years got dressed up just with stuff they found. You know, they found this stupid, crazy hat by my mother's house, and she wore one of my shirts. Came up to here to her, yeah. And she was an artist. You know, she put that hat, and she all I had to spend was like to buy the paintbrushes. Sometimes you have to be creative, and you know the kids love it. We have to remember what Purim is for who, for us, or for the kids, especially the costumes. Shalachmanos. Shalachmanos is a big expense. I think the best way to do it, you know what? I'll throw the question to you guys. What's the best way to get through Shalachmanos, the cheapest? Give less people.
Make stuff.
Make your own stuff, bake stuff.
Recycle.
Good one. Yeah? Any other suggestions? Huh? I was going to ask if there's such a thing here. That's also big, right? Could be a saving money, right?
I think it costs more than giving Shalom Bonus to people.
Yeah, okay. Who's in charge? No, it depends. It depends. For some people, it might be good. You have to. Basically, I think the best. I mean, there are three possible lists. There's the minimum list. People you must give. There's the maximum list, you know, to whoever I want to give. And there's somehow in between, you know, people who give me, give them back. Basically, the in the middle, in between. I think we could combine all these things together, and have some kind. If a person makes all these three lists, make a list of the minimum, make a list of the maximum, and make a list of the middle part. And make a budget. You're only buying for the minimum. Those are the ones you're buying. And set up a budget. Sometimes all you need is a little thought, and it's cute. And it's nice. You know, sometimes a nice little mug that cost in the shekel store, 2 shekel. That's why it's called the shekel store. Yeah? And you put in a little bag of coffee and a few sugars, and you put a little nice cracker there, and whatever, make some kind of a poem, and it looks nice and it looks cute. And people sometimes appreciate it. Sometimes, I don't know. It depends. Yeah? Could be appreciated if you make a nice, good, extra large chocolate chip cookie. That might be even better, right? But again, set up a budget. Work within the budget. When you go into the shopping, make a list and make sure you're buying according to what you put on the list and nothing else. Because when you're walking in, especially nowadays, it's a war going on in there. I don't know, whoever was in Yesh or the other places, I don't know, it's mamish a war. You're walking in there and they're attacking you from all over the place. Besides that lady that always comes to you with that Yesh card. Yeah?
Just take it for you.
But you're being attacked by Mifzaim, and you're being attacked by all these kind of things, and you get lost, and you get lost, and it's worth it. Is it kedai? Is it not kedai? You know, they're selling these olive oils for very nice, cute ones for 10 shekel. They're very cute, you know. I was thinking to buy it from my house, you know, it might be cheap, but then I'm simple chashbon, it was cheaper just to buy the big one. Yeah. Usually, I mean, and for Americans, it's pretty posh. Israel is not. I don't know why. But sometimes the bigger costs more. The bigger package costs more than the smaller package. Don't ask me why, but that's the way it is. Definitely not Costco. And and then again, like what you mentioned before, recycling. You get shalach manos. You could all you prepare is a nice little bag or some kind of dish or a plate. I'm sorry. And you just recycle. You get what you get, and at the end of the day, you're left with less candy for the kids. And less, Ari Stern is not here, so less business for the for the dentist. But at the end of the day, with what we are left with, since a day after Purim, there's no longer to shop any other nash than Pesach cookies. That also doesn't make any sense to me. But after Purim, that's it. You can't buy any more nash or any more candy for the kids. If you want, you would want to like put it away in a certain bags. You know, in every Shabbos and every week, you take out one bag. Till you reach Pesach, you could have still candy, and you didn't even have to buy the Pesach stuff. It costs probably a fortune. Any other questions? Tashlumim, we mentioned about Purim already. Since Pesach is coming up, it doesn't make a lot of sense to buy Tashlumim. Unless you buy Pesach Tashlumim also. Let's just run these through. Just a little bit about Mazanim. And meanwhile, I'll summarize. So Lemaise, we spoke about the three steps. Mazanim method, combining financial advice and coaching, helping the people, the families, come up with their own answers. I'll just give a cute story that I like to say. There's this family in Kiryat Sefer that they were short in a certain amount of money, and we asked the husband, what could you do? He said, this guy was obviously Talmud Chacham or something, he lives in Kiryat Sefer, whatever. And he said, you know what? I could clean up halls. There's a hall, I could clean it up at night. Every night, I could make like 2,000 shekel. Now, how could we have come over and tell the guy, you know, I know this Shapsi hall is looking for a cleaner. You want to come clean? Could I present it to anyone here? I'll be thrown out the door. But if a person comes and says himself, you know, this is what I could do, I think it's something that's possible for me, so, you know, go ahead and do it. Something that you could do. Okay. And awareness, again, number one is awareness. We have to know what's going on and be aware of what we're spending and how we're spending comes about in shopping and in everything, in every aspect. I hold that's number one, that's key number one. Awareness of what's going on. When we go into a store, you know what, I'll throw another question. Credit cards are good or bad? Bad? You know the joke with the guy who went to the police and complained his credit card was stolen. So they asked him, when was it stolen? He said, a year ago. He said, why are you coming now? He said, yeah, up to now, the guy who stole it spent less than my wife. No offense. Yeah?
What's better to use, a credit card every month, or if some people say I have cash in an envelope?
What works best for you? What works best for you?
I'm not sure. I can steal the cash in this one.
Okay, so could be credit card is good for you. The idea of credit cards.
It's an experiment?
Could be. Sometimes it depends on how a person spends. Sometimes a person says, you know what, I have a credit card. He walks into a store. Number one question he asks himself, how could I pay for this? Right? Credit card. Great. So he buys it. Other people have to ask themselves, could I afford this? Question number one. Question number two comes, how am I going to pay for this? If you're constantly asking yourself the question number one, can I afford it? Could be a credit card is a great thing. How can we say today on the internet, you know, and online and everything, how can we live without credit cards? How will we ever pay our bills? How can we buy an Old Navy or Children's Place? Or eBay? What? Okay, good. Definitely. You could use a debit card, right? Right? Yeah, but, right, yeah, 100%. I think it's all about what works for a person and how a person spends and the way a person has to learn himself. But I think if once you're aware that a credit card is just a method of paying and not a method of
borrowing.
Not borrowing. Mimun.
Borrowing.
It's financing.
Financing. Then you're already on a different level. Okay, I think we're going to wrap it up.
Okay. Let me just leave
Rabbi
you.
Kornfeld.
I just want to leave you with a very interesting story. As you fill out the the papers, this is a true story, and I heard it from the person that it happened to. And this is really the theme of Mazanim, is to try to get a person out of the cycle of borrowing or the cycle of debt. But this is a true story. A friend of mine knows somebody who was struggling with the bank every day, and some of his checks were bouncing. And we all know that in Israel, the Bank of Israel has a law that if 10 checks bounce, you're closed down, you're mugbal. And this guy was getting deeper and deeper into debt, and his checks, he was writing checks, and as the scum and the hell in the bank were saying, he would go to the scum of hell every other day and basically cry to him like he was the Kotel. And this was just going on, and he wasn't sleeping at nights, and it's just a crazy situation until he decided that he couldn't take it anymore. And he went to this Menahel of the bank, and he said, listen, I'm coming to you before you call me and yell at me. I'm 9 checks down. I have 1 check coming in. Close me down. And he thought for sure that the Menahel of the bank would say, great, like one less nudnik to deal with. And the following happened. This guy Menahel said to him, are you sure? The Menahel of the bank said, are you sure? And he said, yeah, I'm sure. He says, you know what you're doing? He says, yeah, I know what I'm doing. I can't take it anymore. I talked it over with my wife. I want to be mukbal. That's it. Mukbal means you close down. That means you cannot write checks for a year. No credit cards, no checks. Cash only. The Menahel of the bank said, I'm really not allowed to do this. But he opened up the drawer of his desk and pulled out a gemach list for him. And said to him, I'll give you 48 hours. So the guy says, The guy said to the man of hell, he says, you don't understand, this is what I'm running away from. For crying out loud. I have to put an end to this. That's the story. It happened. But I can tell you another story that happened to me a number of years ago when I was working for a chesed organization that was based in New York, and they paid me with a dollar check as part of my salary. And so when I first went there, I was in New York, and I filled out all the whatever paperwork, and they said, go down to the bank, and you'll get your, what are they called, those starters checks? I don't even know myself what they're called. And speak to the, I guess it was a scum and a hell of a bank, this was a bank in New York, and he was a very friendly guy, and he loved what the organization was doing. I'm proud to say that for 8 years I worked for a wonderful special organization called Chai Lifeline. And I went to the Menahel of the bank there, who was in charge of the checking accounts, a very frum guy who really loved what they were doing. To make a long story short, he's a talker, we got to talking, and when I told him that in Israel, after 10 checks that bounce, you get closed down, he couldn't believe it. And he called over his co-workers and he says, you gotta hear this, this is incredible, I wish we would have this also instead of, you know, instead of people just playing, bouncing off with their credit cards and everything. Why am I telling you this? Because people make a mistake and say the culture of debt is only in Israel. And for most of you that are recent Olim, I've been here 40 years, but most of you who are recent Olim, I think you know that there are a lot of people that play with credit cards and still have the culture of debt. The culture of debt knows no boundaries. And it's because bad habits die hard. That's exactly why we're here tonight, to try to help you break those bad habits. Thank you very much. We want to help. If you know people who could, who could use what we're doing, have them call the hotline. And we'd like to follow up. We have availability of doing workshops for people who want to know more. And we're just here for you and for anybody else that needs it. Have a good night.
Please stack your chairs in stacks of 10.
Please turn this thing off.